You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Family Life Cycle.
But really, sometimes there's separation anxiety that goes on with parents, okay? You know, they're worried about, and I'll be honest, I was real good with my boys. I had to get myself together with my daughter. I really did. I was like, you know, my boys, they all went off. Cool, you know. My daughter, and by then, now I'm in a full swing of Facebook like never before. Okay, so, you know, and then young people today, I followed her on Facebook. I followed her on everything. I almost wish I didn't.
I had a problem with Facebook.
Okay.
Because he would see things on Facebook. He'll come in the room. Do you see such and such? Do you see such and such? I refused to kind of go on there and look sometime.
Because it was her fault. If she had got on the mall, she wouldn't have worn that little coochie thing she had on.
I got blamed. I'm like, but I just refuse. Because it could stress you out.
You know, you see your kids at parties with red cups.
What's in the cup?
What's in the cup?
I'm not there.
Okay. I know you young people, y'all ain't thinking about
that.
But the parents see that and they're like, what's in the cup?
All the young people, stay away from red cups. Stay away from them. Cause problems.
And so I really, you know, I was worried about my daughter. I really was. One of the main things that was my hope or that was a comfort for me is I knew she was an athlete. And because she was an athlete, you know, she had to, there's certain things she had to do. She had to be where she had to be. I knew she had to be disciplined. And so that was some help. That was some help. But I did. I had to calm myself down. I had to resolve that whatever she's doing, the blood still works. Amen. Because you can't, please, Lord, don't let my children be sinning. They probably are, but the blood still works. The blood still works. Amen.
Amen.
Just pray for them because when you went to college, you sinned too. Uh-huh. And look at you, but God protected you and he brought you out.
Amen.
Amen. With the victory. Amen. Amen. And you just plead the blood. You know that you put the word in them and you believe with all your heart they ain't going too far.
Amen.
Yes, you want to add anything to that?
About the worrying?
About whatever I said.
Yeah, I mean, I think as parents, you know, especially with every generation is different, you know. Like our generation, I feel like our generation, we're definitely the more outgoing and bold generation than previous generation. That's my personal opinion, mm-hmm. You know, with social media. And so some things I think you have to be, I'm not going to say, what's the word I'm looking for? Not to just let them do anything they want to do. But at the same time, them growing up, they're going to make mistakes. Just like you said, they did. Like y'all did. And your job is not to just say, hey, you're a devil. Get out of here. You had to, you know, you had to coach them through it. And you got to walk them through it in love. That's the only way they will make that won't make that mistake again. Because they'll know, like, you know, I know how I was raised, how I was brought up. And it's a respect thing. You know, it's like as you used to always say, one of your main things was you want your kids to not be ashamed of anything you do.
Right.
So if your kids, they respect your parents, they feel the same way. I don't want to do anything to have my parents to feel ashamed of me.
Yeah.
I think it's mutual.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even during these teenage years and those young adult years, parents, Mother Bailey, y'all hear me take it all the time, Mother Bailey, who went to be with the Lord when she was, how old was I? 82, 83. But sometimes I'll call her on birth. You can't believe. And she would look, she said, Herb, it's a new day. It's a new day. And that is not what I wanted to hear from her. I wanted her to say, let me talk to him. And she would just say, pick your battles. It's a new day. I would say, Daniel got another tattoo. She said, it's a new day. Okay. It's one time it was like every semester, every time one of them come home, there's a new tat.
All
okay?
of them.
All of them.
All of them.
All my kids got tattoos. They all got tattoos.
All of them.
Some are more obvious than others, but they all got tattoos. And then by the time I saw it, they would always say to me, "Oh, I had this a long time." Yeah, because I ain't seen them all semester.
I'm like, I ain't never
even. Oh, this? Oh, yeah. Mom knew about it. Yeah, they would tell me
all
that.
All my kids threw me under the bus.
Did you know about it?
All of them. No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really didn't know about all of them. Sometimes I found out just when you found out.
On Facebook.
Yeah. On Facebook.
But when you think about it, y'all, seriously, in the big scheme of things.
It's really not that deep.
You know, I mean, we got our preferences. And my kids, see, they all, you know, and here's the thing is, you know, they call themselves being balanced and Christian and God-fearing in their tattoos. For example, this one here says, walk by faith. See? So what dad gonna say about that? Because we walk by faith, you know. I think Chandler got one on his chest, Psalm 23. You know, so they all try to be, thank God they didn't have snakes and demons and devils.
Yeah.
You know, but they put scriptures, but, you know.
Yeah.
And so, really, but in a big scheme, I'm not a promoter of tattoos, okay? But in a big scheme of things, you got to choose your battles. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, why are you falling out?
That's it.
Talking about, don't come up in this house. But no, well, where they going to go? Don't come up in this house with no tattoo.
Right.
What you going to do? Stay out?
Yeah.
And then you're going to tell, all you do is hang out in the streets. Well, you told me don't come up here with no tattoo, and I got a tattoo. I can't get rid of it. What you expecting? So you really have to choose your battles. You can be full of worry and fear as parents, and you got to take authority over that. And then here's the other thing I want to spend a couple minutes and talk about, is that sometimes when your kids are launched off, marital conflict can arise. Your wife start acting crazy. Mm-hmm. And you got to pray for your wife.
And your husband lose his mind.
And the truth of the matter is, we've been losing our mind and acting crazy all along, but you notice it more now.
The reason is because the children occupy your time. And you're busy with your kids. And things that you would normally can't deal with, you get distracted by your kids. But the thing about it, those of you who have children, you got issues and you got things you don't talk about, I want to encourage you, get those things settled. Because when the kids go and leave the house, the issues are there. They're like all by themselves. No kids can camouflage it. No trips, no sports activities, all those things. So they just, you know, that rug after a while has a big old mountain underneath that you kept sweeping all your issues underneath the rug. They're there.
And, for example, if I was upset with Marcia and when the kids was home, well, I could just go upstairs and sit in the rec room with the boys while they playing games. And they knew I didn't come up there much. And whenever I came up there, they were like, what you doing up here? Because you know? I really didn't come up there much.
Yeah.
And every now and then I just come up there, I'm hanging out. And because, you know, it could have been I just want to get away. Or I don't want to deal with something right now. So I'll come say it. And all she can say, well, he's up there with the kids, up there with the boys.
I knew he was up there while he was up there.
You didn't know
why. Yes, I did. I knew. Okay.
But listen, when no kids are in the house.
What?
Where you going?
What?
Okay, why are you all the way in the other corner of the house?
Jesus,
and I'm in here, and it's just the two of us. Now you gotta, if you gotta study, you gotta office, you gotta act like you in the Word, you know what I'm saying?
You get real close to Jesus.
Yeah, you know, I was in the prayer, I made that my prayer closet now, you know what I'm saying? But the real issue is that there were issues that you weren't dealing with because you could camouflage it with the children, but now the kids are gone. Whatever it is, whether it's issues with your mother-in-law or issues with spending too much money, or issues with how you're talking to each other, or whatever, you got to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And again, a lot of times, they've been there all along, but you know, you've been really nice, professional parents, and you don't get into things, and you don't want to yell and scream around
the
kids, and all, but they ain't there now.
But when they gone.
Yeah, that's why I said that. Some of them can let the devil come out of them, you know what I'm saying?
When they gone.
And let it rip. Mm-hmm. So really, you got to deal with your issues. Because whatever it is, I remember I heard Gloria Copeland say this one time, and they use this as an analogy in life. She said years ago when she and Kim Cope used to be on the road traveling, going from place to place to preach. Said they'd be on an interstate, and all of a sudden hear some knocking in the car. Bam, bam. Said and Kenneth Copeland would say, "I wonder what that is." She said, and she said she would say, "Whatever it is, it ain't gonna get any better without checking it out. Whatever it is that y'all got in your marriage, it's not gonna get any better by ignoring it. And you need to understand something. As you get older, you got less tolerance for stuff.
That's true. That's true."
Brothers, you really got to understand that. You really got to understand that. As you get old, because you start thinking, you're like, "Well, man, I was 20 before. I was young. I was dumb." But now you're 40. You're like, "I ain't trying to do this from that."
Right.
No. I ain't 20 no more. I ain't spending the next 40 years like this.
Right.
Or at least you had that in your mind. I do not want to live at this same level that I did in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, my 70s, my 80s. By now, at some point, we got to grow up. We got to come to some resolution. And we have to learn to really dwell with each other according to knowledge.
And when women, when you're in your 20s, there's a hormone you have that just makes everything like, "It's okay. Oh, it'll be all right." And then when you get in your 30s, it's like, "Well, yeah, okay." 40s, like, "Hold up." 50s, like, "Oh, no.
We're going to shut this down now."
No. Yeah, so it's just, so and brothers, I want you to know, women are very pliable and adaptable, but as they get older, that hormone that makes them that pliable and adaptable decreases. So it's not that she just flips the script. It's just that she realized, hey, this stuff is really not right. It's kind of wrong. And she has the ability to kind of go with the flow in her younger years. So when those children leaves that, you know, when you launch them, all of a sudden it's like truth serum to the 100th power. So it's like those issues, you got to
speak the truth in love.
In love. And she sees the truth in living color. You know, and so you... Am I right, sisters?
Yeah.
And so that's why you need to kind of communicate and develop communication. It's a wonderful thing when you're young and married, have no children. You can learn each other. You can talk to each other when you're developing, your relationship. I want to encourage young couples to develop communication, learn each other, appreciate each other, and respect each other, because that will pay off in the long run.
And brother, one thing you really have to, and again, it'll come up more during those launching years as you send your children off to college, off the military, they're at the house. Brothers, we really got to get this. Quiet does not mean peace.
Mm.
Sometimes it's a quiet storm. Quiet does not mean peace. Brothers, we all want quiet, right? Because we think quiet means peace.
Right.
Okay? But quiet does, sometimes it's a quiet storm.
It's the eye of the storm.
sometimes it's a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like ain't nothing happening, but that thing is
it will burn you
sizzling
up.
And simmering and bubbling, and before you know it, it's going to erupt, and you're going to have to run for your life. So your mind,
lava will catch you.
So really, we might as well learn to try to deal with stuff little by little, okay, rather than letting everything just erupt, okay? But a lot of times, the thing that you have not been dealing with, once you've launched and those children are gone, it's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be stuff from 20, 30 years ago. By the way, y'all, I recently came to this understanding. Brothers, you're going to catch this. You'll understand this. I recently realized this. I heard someone say this, and then I started applying it. I think it's more appropriate to women. People say, people may forget, they may forget the facts or what you did, but but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
That's the truth.
Right? You may forget the facts, but brother, you know, women especially will never forget how it made them feel.
Never, never.
That's why I had to come. That's why in our mind, they're remembering these little insignificant things. Like, don't you remember that? No, I don't remember. That was 30 years ago. But there's still a feeling connected with that, with them. Okay? For example, certain things I'm bringing it up. I want you to bring it up. I want you to hear nothing about. I don't even want to hear about it anymore. But anyway.
Wait a minute. If you ain't talking about it, we're going to talk about it.
I think, I don't know who was born. Daniel was born or Tyler was born. Which one was it?
Which one was it? Sunday morning. A lot of feelings associated
with
this, y'all.
Which one was it?
Just
answer my question. We're over.
Daniel.
Okay, Daniel's born.
They're 15 months apart.
He's born on Sunday. He's coming home on Sunday morning. And so,
it was Saturday.
Huh?
It was Saturday.
Okay. See, she remembers it was Saturday. Okay, well, all the more so.
Uh-huh.
All the more so then.
Uh-huh.
But I'm really thinking it was a Sunday because I remember coming home and then going to church.
You went to rehearsal. You had main mass choir rehearsal.
Okay. She remembers the facts of that. I'm like, and I kept saying, why does she remember these facts so much?
Because I
was committed to the Lord, committed to the church, committed to the choir, committed to Sunday school, assistant pastor of the church, state YPWW director, the president and founder of the Maine Association of Black Professionals. I'm helping people. I'm helping the church. I'm helping the community. And she remembers
right
the fact that I dropped her off or dropped the kid. And then had to go out.
Yes, you kissed me. I can remember it to
the day.
Didn't
I kiss you? She said I kissed her. Hey, don't get some points for kissing her.
Dropped me off. Sat down on a brown couch that was up against the wall. Had the carrier on the floor. Chandler was on the couch. Tyler was pulling on me and crying because the new baby was home. And you walked out to go to rehearsal. I remember it to this day.
Okay. Now, why does she remember that?
Because my feelings.
Because of how it made her feel. Brothers, I recently got, so a lot, that's what causes them to remember these, in our mind, insignificant facts. Because, watch this. Here's the phrase. We finally got it. Because it made them feel.
Some kind of way.
There you go.
Some kind of way.
And so that's what you have to. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with these feelings, okay? And you're over these feelings now, right?
No, I'm
you're
not.
Healed, right?
I'll be honest. I'm not.
Okay? So, again, that's why you got to deal with stuff, because they were feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
And if they felt some kind of way and it never came to a resolution, they still feeling some kind of way. And things bring it up and it reminds them. That's why certain things you do, it takes them back. Because it's the same feeling that they're identifying with. So you got to deal with all that stuff. Right? So I'll start wrapping this up here for tonight. So these are some, you heard me mention specifically. There's something that you want to add?
I want to ask you, what was the most challenging thing for, you know, in the launching period, you know, regarding, could be just what you experienced or either us as your parents, you know, that, you know, what was the most challenging or frustrating or different?
And you may even want to particularly add, because, I mean, this was drastic, you know. Went from an hour and a half away to across the ocean.
Yeah. Okay, my first season when I went to play in Germany, I think it was a Monday night, my agent called me, team in Germany, they're interested. I look over the contract. I look at the contract. Send it back. Say, yeah, it looks good.
By the way, I've never seen this contract. Anyway, go ahead. And I'm feeling some kind of way. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, that's a part of being independent, okay?
That's a part of him being independent.
So then I said, you know, flight arrangements. When I leave, they send a ticket, and the ticket said Wednesday. You know, this is Monday. The ticket said Wednesday. You know, I'm like, oh, man, I got to leave. I'm thinking a week or two.
Yeah.
So, you know, go to my mom. Hey, mom, I'm going to go to Germany. She's like, oh, hey, okay, when you leaving? I'm like, Wednesday. She's like, really? Like, Wednesday? Like, you know, my mom, she got kind of emotional. I told my dad, you know, it's great, blah, blah, blah. Same thing. I told Brianna, she's so happy for me, you know. So we get to the airport.
Oh my God.
Oh.
This is part of the worry and fear.
I wish I could send them a picture. This is, let them put it up.
This is part of the worry and fear they were talking about. You know, I'm kind of nervous about it. But you know, and me being nervous about it, I need everybody else around me to be, you know,
have it together,
keep it together. So I go to say, we waiting around, checked in. You know, I go say bye to my dad. You know, he wants to be all cool, all right, so you know, yeah.
Hey, he's prepared.
I see. I know he hurt on the inside. So,
I was tore up.
So, you know, I go give Brianna a hug. She's, you know, a little sad. Tear here, tear there. Then I go give my mother a hug. Next thing I hear, oh, God. And she loses it. So when she loses it, Brianna loses it. So I'm trying to hug them both, and my dad just sitting here like, you know, my car, I can't leave my car in the front of the airport. Like,
yeah.
Can y'all, he yeah. really like, I got to get my car. Can y'all like, hurry up, let him go.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so that was, I mean, that really, it kind of like, at that point, I kind of like, man, I know I have to go, but I'm like, do I really have to go? I feel that was the hardest part of my launching period, because I knew I was going to be far away from home, and I couldn't go home. Like, while I was in college, I could drive home at night. But I'm in Germany. I can't just hop on a plane and leave tomorrow, or I can't play anymore.
I would
have
made it happen if you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, and she would tell him that. She would say, like, how you doing? You want to come home? No. You don't call somebody their job and tell them they're treating you wrong with your job. Come home, baby. This is his job. He's a professional basketball player.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was a great growing process of me as a man, you know, be in a different country by myself, technically. And so I learned a lot about myself and how I interact with other people. And spiritually, I grew a lot, too, I feel like. So that was great for me.
Yeah. I think that was the hardest launch we had to
do. Yeah, they were. I'm really trying to find the pictures here, because I got to be in my phone somewhere. They were, the two of them, his mother and his fiance, they were just tore up in the airport.
And to add on to that, now I sometimes feel some type of way. Because when I leave now, everybody's kind of like, all right, bye. You know, so I'm like,
it's not that way.
We got to get used to it.
So I'm like, do they not care about me anymore?
That's funny.
No, it's not like that.
So we all grew up.
Yeah, we all grew up.
Yeah.
We all
grew up.
So regarding that fear and anxiety that a lot of parents go through, I want to give you some really scriptural solutions. These are things that I stood on for my children, particularly as they went off to, again, more especially my daughter, as she went off to college, Daniel going off to Germany. Solution number one, you got to trust the Lord. Okay? And several scriptures that I stood on. Psalm 16 and 1. It says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And so, and a lot of time when I'm saying me and I refer to them. I say, God, preserve them because I put my, you know, I'm trusting you to preserve them. I trust God to preserve them, to keep them, to watch over them. Psalm 56 and 3. What I love about Psalm 56 and 3, it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Notice it says, what time, another translation says, when I am afraid. A lot of times we don't want to acknowledge that I am afraid. But so you can be afraid. There's going to be times that you're afraid. Even regarding your children, you say, but what time, at the time that I am afraid, learn to trust in God. That, trust means to rely on, to fall back into. Okay? Psalm 56 and 11. It says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? I confess that over myself. I confess that over my children. God, we trust you. I'm not going to be afraid. What can man do unto them? We still pray for our children. We cover them with the blood. We're constantly declaring that they walk in the favor of God.
Every family will go through stages in life. You may be the single adult trying to find your way, or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already launched your kids into adulthood, and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.